All right, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Well, today is the 13th of March, 2022, and we're reading from the sealed book, chapter 13 of Acts of the Three Nephites. And this is Jesus talking. So it's very interesting. I'm not sure. Yeah, kind of a recap. Did you say give a recap, Jeannie? Or
that
did
was,
you say
that? That was me.
Oh, maybe you
it's
can
a memory.
Give a
there was a memory.
Maybe you can give a recap.
Well,
like in a few
you caught
seconds.
Me a little bit off guard.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But we're coming from the that we have to really get to love the Sabbath again and read to Isaiah. So that's a short recap.
Okay,
perfect.
Yeah. So let me see. Steve, would you like to read first one?
I'd be glad to.
Thank you.
Therefore, Alma also commanded that the priest whom he had ordained should work with their own hands for their sustenance, except the evangelist, establishing themselves among them one day of each week, besides the Sabbath, in which they were to meet to teach the people and worship the Lord their God, and should they also meet as often possible.
Thanks. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I'll go ahead.
Okay, JT.
Meeting as often as possible. It's always been a common theme that's displayed throughout these scriptures, that the people of the church always prayed, took the sacrament, and met as often as possible to encourage each other and to teach each other words of wisdom. Because the enemy is trying to take everyone out and sift them through. And it's only together that we survive. It's only together that we thrive. So I'm gonna pass the mic.
Thanks, mic drop. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a comment. I'm trying to figure if I understand what it's saying. It says that the priests are to work with their own hands for their sustenance, except the evangelists. And what are the evangelists supposed to do?
Yes, well, that's interesting because Joseph Smith once said that a patriarch is an evangelist, but I'm not sure.
Well, the question is, I guess the evangelists are supported by the work of the people. Is that what it's saying?
I believe in Doctrines and Covenants. It kind of talks about something similar to this where they would be sent out either two by twos are sent out to do the work, and either the Lord will provide for them or the people will back them up in that case. Because I think the priests stay with the church.
So what's the difference in a missionary and an evangelist? You know, an evangelist definition says a person who seeks to convert others to the Christian faith, especially by public preaching. So what's the difference in a missionary and an evangelist?
Good question.
Well, I would say to the text, I think they're the same thing. I think they're both doing the same work. It's just whatever word you choose to do, whatever word you choose to use. But here in this verse, like Russell was pointing out, we're dealing with priests and with evangelists. And from what I know, priests stay with the church usually, unless they're like traveling high priests. And then the evangelists have to go out and do the work. But I think evangelists and missionaries are the same thing. I think that's kind of like, you know, what's the difference between a pastor and a preacher kind of thing. But that's just how I'm looking at it. Anybody maybe else want to answer it?
Maybe it's on the whole on the move thing. That we're on the move and we're not settled like a priest and has his flock, people that he cares for, that we have to have the faith that we can move without a purse, for example. You know, that you have the faith that God will provide, or the people will provide. And that there's maybe a kind of a, how do you say, an voorwaarde. A precondition, maybe, to be, to have the faith to go out there, you know? I'm just saying.
Well, I looked up evangelist in the you know, in the back of the Book of Mormon, and it says, "One who bears or proclaims the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ." That's what an evangelist is.
So yeah, I think it's hard for us to be very restrictive on what that term means. Let me just read one thing on 52. DNC 5239, it says, "Let the residue of the elders watch over the churches and declare the word in the regions round about them, and let them labor with their own hands that there be no idolatry nor wickedness practiced." Now, as I interpret that, that means that if you have a paid ministry, you're setting them, you got an idolatry. And I want to ask Steve, it seems to me like there's something from Mauricio about supporting the leadership or something like that out of the tithing. I don't know. Do you have any, do you remember anything like that?
I'm sorry, Russell, I don't. I don't remember that. I know some of the things with the missionaries right now are being fine-tuned, but I can't answer that question. I don't know.
Well, in the revelation on tithing, I believe that's where this is, that you pay a tenth. There's that a thing about a tenth of a tenth, so that your tithing is a tenth. And then out of that tithing that you paid in, a tenth of that tithing goes towards those who are either the evangelists or who it is that are doing the high leadership of the church. I didn't say that right, but it's a tenth of a tenth, and I think that's what it's referring to.
It's interesting because I've been reading the Old Testament, and the Levites were the ones that I think everyone kind of supported the Levites, and they kind of floated around and were in everyone's land. I wonder if it's something similar to that. They're kind of like full-time, I don't know if they're evangelists, but like full-time ministry that they provided it for with the temple.
Yeah, because they were also not the tribe, the only tribe that did not go into the promised land with the other tribes.
Well, they were not a tribe. They were dispersed. They were the priests for all the tribes.
Yeah.
And so out of the 13 tribe or 12 sons initially, they didn't get inheritance. They got split.
Different calling. Yeah, no land, but...
thanks, Russell. Should... Yeah. It's true.
Also interesting, this verse is one day a week besides the Sabbath. We're trying to do the Wednesday, working on the idea to get on the Wednesday something going. But
our prayer group.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe Wednesday as a...
Well, we're already doing the prayer on Wednesday.
Yeah.
That's good.
And
the universal prayer.
Yep.
Right. I don't know what the term is, but
yeah, and I think in Brazil they're doing on Sunday night, they're doing a teaching missionary.
Yes. Thing.
So maybe that's something that they're doing as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a couple of things in there that that says what should be done. It's like a manual.
Yes.
So we need that. Besides the Sabbath, we also have to have one day where we teach the people and where we worship the Lord our God. And we should meet as often as possible.
Russell, do you have John, Brother Pratt's comments on this?
I suppose I did. Well, I didn't go in and extract anything this week.
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't know if there's anything that I had.
Well, it was an interesting episode. You went through the whole lesson in 45 minutes. So, because Kevin had to go.
Oh.
He had to go work. So it was a bit quick. And Jeannie was in front of an earth with lights. You were in a different place.
Oh, I do have John Pratt's comments.
I was in a different place. Yes. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hear some comments from
Brad. It was not recorded, yeah. I wrote something down, so maybe if we could get to that, then we can. I can tell them. But
he has it.
Oh, you have it, Russell. Really?
Yeah. 1 second.
All right. Not the words of Jonah, one of the three Nephites.
Okay.
But I'd like to introduce it by saying this is the middle of three chapters that are given by the Savior. So these are not the words of Jonah, one of the three Nephites. A lot of this is going to be comparing Alma and how he went into the wilderness, started the church, and then comes back out into the hymn. This is going to be comparing that to the church in the last days, which will be driven into the wilderness and then come back. So this is not a review of all history. This is explaining the symbolism of past events being symbolic of what is going to happen again. So it's for us to understand our own future. I just listened yesterday to a biblical preacher talk about tithing. And he helps me understand something I haven't understood. Everybody has to eat. And that food has to come from somewhere. Either you work and make it yourself, or somebody can give it to you. And the purpose of tithing was, you know, it's for the poor. If they might work and fail and they need help. But also, all my life I've sort of thought a paid ministry was wrong, because in LDS, the Toronto Book of Mormon, it's like this, that the priests should work with their own hands. On the other hand, it says, except when they're except evangelists, and I'm not sure exactly what that word means in our language, but somebody has to make the food to share. And if somebody is a full-time preacher, then it could be, he showed from the Bible that full-time preachers can be sustained by the money from the people. And what this is really saying is everybody's like a part-time preacher. You work part of the time and you preach part, and that's fine. But I'm just saying I'm starting to learn that it isn't wrong to have the full time. For example, the Brazilian church has 8 full-time missionaries, and they're full-time, and they have been supported by other people. And the LDS church was supported often by their parents, or by money they had earned. But even if you send out a missionary without purse or scrip, they're going to be supported by the people they teach.
If I might, but that's not for gain in excess of their maintenance. I mean, it's not like the priestcraft that made as much money as they could or took as much.
Right. Yeah. And priestcraft is where they're setting themselves up for a life. Yeah, that's a whole different deal. So that part, so it can be out of control. But in the law of Moses, the priests were supported by the people. They were full-time in the temple, and the tithing went to support them.
Okay,
so John was also not sure what an evangelist was. We keep exploring, I think. Let me see. Darla, could you read verse 2?
Yes, yes, yes. And then that so that the words of Messiah may serve to my people in the fullness of times, the book of Messiah makes it clear that Alma began the order of Enoch among the people of the Church of Christ in his day. And when he commanded that his members should share their goods, according each according to your possessions, he who had abundantly should share more abundantly in reason of him who had, and whoever had nothing of him would be given. And so according to their free will and because of their good feelings, they should share their goods with needy priests, yea, and with every needy and naked soul.
You also read verse 3?
Yes. And this he told them by the order of God, because he received revelation from him. And so they walked right before God by listening to their prophet, helping one another, both materially and spiritually, according to their needs. I think that's so important, according to their needs, because John Pratt lived on hardly anything. He didn't have the need to go outside and see the sun, but he was completely content in being in that basement and was able to interact with people from all over the world, where his needs were completely met. And yet somebody else going to live there, me being from Arizona, I'm used to being outside and exploring and working the land and whatever. So for me to be in Duchesne, I would have much different needs socially and physically, you know, that as we're growing spiritually, our needs, each one of us individually has different needs physically and spiritually and emotionally.
Yeah, thank you. And it's very good to discover what your needs are. I think also through the sealed book, we learn a lot about that. So, yeah. Did anybody read the footnote?
Mosiah 18, you mean?
Mosiah, he says Mosiah. Oh, it says twice RLDS, RLDS. I think the last one is Mosiah, yeah, Mosiah 18, 29.
I think the second one is the LDS, not RLDS.
Yeah, okay. Maybe they...
You want me to read it?
Okay, yes. Thanks.
And this he said unto them, having been commanded of God, and they did walk uprightly before God.
Oh, yeah.
Imparting to one another both temporally and spiritually, according to their needs and their wants. Yeah, exactly the same.
No, not exactly the same.
Yeah, wants.
Yeah, needs and wants. And also because he received revelation from him is not in Mosiah, I think. And this he told them by order of God, because he received revelation from him.
It's a little bit different.
Well, anyway. Any other thoughts?
Well, the verse just before that, I think, is interesting in the Book of Mormon, Mosiah. In verse 28, and thus they should impart of their substance, of their own free will and good desires towards God, and to those priests that stood in need, yea, and to every needy naked soul.
That's interesting. Yeah, so that suggests that it depends which priests you have. The priests also have different, it's not one meal for all the priests. You have a individual situation and situatedness.
I think that's right.
Interesting also, I think, with the temporal and the spiritual. For me, example, I was thinking about it. So was so different with the COVID restrictions. And we just had our CD album out, and I was busy always with getting gigs and getting the people together. And then it was totally gone. And I personally believe that it really helped for me to take in this new information. But it's like that with everybody, of course. And sometimes people don't take the time let spiritual impressions sink in in the temporality, I think. Yeah. So that they do, you don't have time. Then people say, I don't have time, but you can make time sometimes if you prioritize. So that was one thought with it. What we need, I didn't know what I needed, you know. I needed to not to have to pull the whole car with the seven people and getting the singers and everybody on time. And I needed to have time to have a sabbatical because I needed it, you know, not because I planned it. I think that's maybe sometimes what the Lord lets us feel from, okay, this is what you want, but what do you think I want? And we have to think more like, what does he want me to think? And are we one with his curve of learning curve? That I could do more if I spent less time doing the improvisation with the music, for example, one thing. And it changes so much if you accept that God, you know, knows better what you need. And accept. Bauke is to the toilet now, so please go.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I have two thoughts on this. You know, if this whole worldwide pandemic and lockdown was orchestrated by Satan to cause harm, in whatever manner, it also may backfire because it gave us the opportunity to sit down and read scriptures as we chose to, you know, we made a choice, our desire to learn more about God, which is making us now more of an enemy towards Satan. That was one thought. The other thought was these two verses, 28 and 29, it does not say that, but it might have been the beginning of, a personal desire to have the United Order, where you learn to share with others on our own free will, not being told or not, you know, sending money somewhere and letting somebody else work on it. It became towards ourselves that we do this. We that commanded to impart of one to another. So I thought that was interesting.
Yes, and I love the thoughts that are going on right now, because when I think of COVID and the transformation that families had to go through of, what do you mean I can't send my kid to school and I have to work from home and deal with my children? What? That so many families had to really revamp. But moms that have been homeschooling or families that have been homeschooling, it was like, yay, now the world's on board.
Yeah.
You know, so it really is interesting depending on where your seat is. But then after people got used to, okay, I have to work from home, my kids are going to be home. Wow, let's play games. That there was a camaraderie and a closeness that happened, you know, of the good of COVID that I think, you know, really made people think outside of the box of, do we really need to commute to work or can work be done from home? Will people be honest? Are there systems that can be in place? So I think it's beautiful the way that transformed. And a second side note, yoga practice actually came out of Buddhist priests needing to earn their money. So they would go and be beggars for their food. And to get more money, they would do these cool Kama Sutra poses and different things and contortions to earn money, not for yogic practices. But that's how it actually came about thousands of years ago when they were doing these things, that we as priests, as missionaries, as evangelists, and then people in the church offering to support them in what ways? What ways can they provide for themselves? What ways can they, what are their needs and their wants and their desires? And with the toilet paper shortage, you know, that's a small way that, oh, I've got extra here we can share with you. That it just made the world have to think in ways of how can we share when I've got a stockpile? And as warehouses and companies are shutting down, that it's harder to get resources because we're so spoiled that we need something. Oh, we'll just run to Home Depot. What do you mean Home Depot doesn't have gardening tape? How difficult is gardening tape to find? You know, that we're so spoiled with having everything at our needs that to have contractors finish building homes right now, they'll have one product that holds up the whole entire subdivision, something that would be easily readily available. And as the world continues to transition in the aftermath of this, it is me having a lot in one area, and yet Balkia and Harm have a bunch of metal stored up on their property, which, you know, I'm just making this up. But, you know, that they have something that they're willing to share. Russell has something he's willing to share. JT is out there doing missionary work and he needs us to share with him. Or, you know, Lisa's going to be doing some evangelical work. That it's just, I think everybody being pricked in their own heart, listening to the Spirit. Who am I? What am I here to learn? What do I have to give? And can I see the needs of others through spiritual eyes to know how to assist and love correctly as the Lord would see fit and direct us?
Thank you, Darla. Great comment.
Interesting what you said about the spoiling. I'm thinking a lot of what Isaiah says about the vomit, that people are used to eating vomit, in my own words. So that
McDonald's,
we should seek revelation that directly. Yeah, you know, but we're so used to the format, and we have to get out of that in a totally new way.
We're also also talking about being spoiled. You know, you also made a song about it. So
when you say to another you're spoiled, you first have to realize that you're spoiled yourself, and how to be more aware and how to work on that. You know, the whole humbleness and being thankful that we have this. Situation that we have time to study and stuff like that.
And like Kevin, who's out there and not able to come to these meetings right now, has a ton of duck eggs and eggs to share with people and milk from his goats or what have you. That even in what he's doing in tending his own field will bless others. So if we use our gifts and our talents to, like, the music that Harm is giving will uplift the spirit and the soul. What was it that the saints brought across? You know, they brought their pianos and their organs. Oh my gosh, can you imagine schlepping that?
You know,
all of these are important.
I have this diary of a guy who went to Holland, and they came across one of these places. They left bags of flour for the other group that came. And they were digging up a piano, you know. Can you imagine that you just store the piano by putting it in the ground? I thought it was such amazing effort, you know, picture of the effort you put in to get
and the importance.
Yeah, of the harmony and the singing.
Yeah,
and getting in tune like David's harp of solemn sound.
Right. Amen. So as we all amplify our own God-given gifts, it will bless others when our heart is right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Wonderful. Yes. I left for a bit. Where are we? Four. I see Lisa.
All right. Verse 4. And it came to pass after some time that Alma and his people were driven into the wilderness, as my people in the fullness of times shall also be driven into the wilderness, where God the Father shall prove the quality of their faith in these words, for the purpose of transforming, purifying, and preparing them for the attainment of their inheritance with me, Jesus Christ.
Thank you. it was a comment that John Pratt had about all is what he is saying about Alma is going to happen again. So,
well, that's what he said before. Remember the precedence among you.
Yeah,
that's why he keeps referring to what's earlier about the Sabbath, and also about maybe the whole thing about this is that we should go in secret about the people know, you know, instead of maybe shouting and stuff, because it's also here that it's not a loud voice, you know. So that also maybe has to do what I thought maybe about the whole spirit who's guiding that, you know. We're so used to shouting comedians and kind of toughness and being a how do you say actual or modern or stuff like that.
Yeah, up to date.
So, yeah, but you want to be, everybody wants to be so funny or intelligent.
Do you okay, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No.
I just had this thought. It says so in Alma's time the people will be driven to the wilderness, and then in the fullness of times the people will be driven into the wilderness. Maybe that's not literally. Maybe, like you said, Harm, maybe it is taking the gospel quietly and sort of underground. Alma also talked about this in chapter 12, that we go out and quietly talk to people about it, get them to open. Yeah, yeah.
Because for me, it's also personal, you know. One time I called my music psychedelic gospel music. So then people think psychedelic, that has to do something with drugs. So, but it's also the whole stage thing, you know, that what Jean Paul Pratt talked about, the don't touch my mountain, thank you, the whole the big gestures, you know, that it's now it's because we are more matured as a people, as an Adamic family, that we're literally, we can read, you know, we can think. So we're conscious when we do the wrong thing more, maybe, you know, because you have a choice. So I think that's what this has to do. I think why Jesus uses this, because the secrecy of it, you know, the strange work, with the wonderful strange work which is happening now. Because if you would be too public, maybe, it's just a thought, you would get off the internet. They took you out. That would be...
kick you out.
You know, so we have to really... Because it's one soul at a time. What Alma also says, if you bring only one soul, remember how happy you would be. So, and it always has to do with the attention. Everybody wants attention. But nobody has time. So if somebody asks you a question about the gospel, which is pretty rare, just be aware of the kind of words you use to keep them, interested, or not too much of yourself.
Yes.
I think that's what Alma means here. So that was my comment.
There was a... the revelation, I was actually reading this, where Mauricio gave that revelation. It's on the website, I think from 2020. I think that was the same one. I might not have the exact revelation correct, but in one of his revelations, he was talking about this actual topic, how the people of Alma's days, they went to a wilderness to have their faith tested. Just like we would have to go in the wilderness to have our faith tested. And in the revelation, it was describing, you know, the tribulation that's about to come, and that we would have to go into our wilderness places to get prepared to come back to the land of Zion and start building up the waste places before that wilderness, that place of holding. And they're building that, or they're getting ready to build those places of safety in the wilderness where the saints can go and, you know, stay protected from the calamities that's about to fall. And, you know, it's kind of like how Moses, the people of Moses, it's a repetitive pattern. They're taken out of this Babylon type of area or bondage. And then as they're about to make their way back to the promised land, they're taken to a wilderness and they're having their faith tested. Are you going to stay true to the commandments? Can you follow what I'm telling you? Can you learn to love one another and give to one another the way that I'm supposed to, you know, the way that we're supposed to give, you know? And a lot of people didn't make it in that wilderness, and that was their test. And they ended up waiting another 40 years before they were ready and purified in a way to go into the promised land. And it's kind of the same thing here, where we're just going to be prepared in that place. So, you know, yeah, there's an aspect where we can share this privately. However, also in that revelation and also in the scriptures, it says that this will be shouted from the rooftops. You know, this is something that should be public as well, even though in that revelation, it was also referring to the internet. But I believe this wilderness is also the actual wilderness that we go to before we come back to this land to rebuild the waste places.
Amen. I feel that throughout scriptures, history repeats itself. Those are God's patterns, and he provides them for us to be able to read and see ourselves in them and impart them in our daily walk. And you watch Abraham go through his sacrifices and his wilderness experience and the 40 years of wandering and Christ's 40 days. That everybody in their human experience will go through a wilderness experience, be it physically out being called out or through different predicaments in their lives. I can remember one experience, and our wilderness experience, so much of the time is doubt and despair and confusion and grappling at which direction do I go. The 40 years of wandering was not a pleasant experience for the Israelites. And there was one time I was debating on leaving my ex-husband, and I just was praying and praying for years to know what to do. And the harder I did temple work and genealogy and all of the right things, it seemed the worse my life was getting. And the more I tried to serve and pay extra tithing and was just literally killing myself. And I was just reading the scriptures, and I came to a phrase in the Doctrine and Covenants, and when I get answers, I feel the Lord speaking through me through the scriptures. They'll be illuminated and they speak to my heart in a much different way. And I read this passage and it said, Darla, and the passage didn't say Darla, but it said, I have seen thine Abrahamic sacrifices and will prepare a way for thine escape. And my escape was absolutely precise. The words that he used that spoke to my heart after years of not getting what I thought was an answer that I could do something with, I was preserved, number one. And number two, he literally prepared a way for every step for me to make. And so when one of my favorite mantras is, all I need to know is that God knows all. And when I trust in him to lay the next plank in front of me, the next stepping stone, I'll be fine to get where he wants me to go, not where I want me to go. And sometimes the two match and sometimes they don't. But just to be patient with ourselves through our tribulations, our wilderness experience, because it's in those experiences that we draw closer to the Lord than any other times in our lives. And when we're truly open and in a place like that, we can be taught by the Spirit and trust in him and draw nearer to him. And so it's a beautiful thing. The tribulations are for our experience and for our growing and for our blessings to be stronger, to then bless those around us as they go through their wilderness experiences, in my thoughts.
Thank you so much.
Darla, I just want to add something, because that was beautiful. And what I like about this verse right here is it starts out with some, bad. You're going to go to the wilderness. That sounds horrible. But also the promise that's given at the very end of it, where it says that there's a purpose for what you're doing. The purpose is to prepare you, transform you, purify you, to get ready for obtaining the inheritance. And that's what we're all been doing, exactly, reading the scriptures and being on this with it, all of us. We've gone through our own little wilderness just right here in striving to become closer to Heavenly Father. That's my comment.
Thank you. All I need to know is that God knows all. It was the mantra. It was a good one.
Yeah.
And maybe the bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower.
Mm-hmm.
What is that bud? It's like a from a flower, a bud, a knop, eh? Yeah. Sometimes I think stuff I don't even understand, but it feels good.
Russell, could you read 5?
Sure.
I'm not sure. Did I already? I don't have a. Okay, good. Yep.
But after 8 days run away in the wilderness, they came to a very beautiful and pleasant land, a land of pure waters, which had been prepared beforehand to receive them. And as soon as they arrived in this land, they pitched their tents, and they began immediately to cultivate the soil and to build buildings and being an industrious and hardworking people.
Any thoughts, Russell?
Well, I guess the one thought is, even though God had prepared the land for them and everything, they still had to put a lot of work into it.
Yep. But they were an industrious and hardworking people. So they were going to, they were like an A team.
And that's what happened after the Garden of Eden. We were told that we had to work by the sweat of our brow to till the land and have the food. We had a perfect world in the Garden of Eden. And now it does take us being industrious and hardworking to cultivate, because you can't just grow in sand, you know, that you have to know what soil you're growing in. And it's the same with our spiritual growth. You can't just grow in sand. You have to feed it and have the proper nutrients. And that's a direct link to God, your scriptures, and your thoughts that are creating your reality.
So true. We have to want to know, you know, to understand, to be able to do the same stuff. Also interesting, here is the 8 days, which has always a fullness annotation, and the 8 day with the resurrection, that we it's hopeful that it's purifying, the wilderness is purifying, and then you come to a pleasant land. So it's also, I think, symbolic for the whole promised land and the fullness with the 8 days.
That's wonderful. So even a wilderness can contain a beautiful and pleasant land.
When you walk through it, when you go through, if you don't give up.
Yeah, that's what we have to keep in mind, to be positive, I think. Okay, maybe 6. also, Russell, could you read that one also?
6. And being a free people, he established himself among them, that they would not have for leader or minister men who were not God-fearing, but that they should walk in his ways and keep his commandments.
Yeah. So that's a good profile for someone who comes for a job. It's someone who is God-fearing, who will walk in God's ways and keep his commandments. I thought, yeah.
Well, that's what's wrong with all of our government today.
But the funny thing is, but the funny part is, like, Biden is Catholic, Putin is also religious. There are a lot of religious leaders, but something went wrong, I guess.
Their not God
closed.
Not God fearing, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
And they would get to the bottom. If they were really God fearing, they would get to the bottom of this.
Yes.
Before going on a table with so much distance to talk as a preparation to using violence. So you have to shout to understand and be violent, even with words.
If they had an eye single to his glory instead of their own ego and wondering how they're going to be viewed as a past president and had their agendas in line with God's agendas, then it would be a different ballgame.
It's interesting that you say ego. I thought about this because Purim is coming up, the Jewish holiday, which is the most festive holiday of the year. And then I just read Esther today, not whole thing, but a couple of chapters. And then it all started with the king wants the queen to come. The queen does not want to come. And then the ego of the king is...
get me another wife.
is cranked, you know? So interesting that you meant... I thought about ego then.
Ego and pride.
Yeah, God-fearing leaders, they're going to be taught by the Lord himself equality amongst the people. And whenever there is inequality, it's usually because of that ego and pride, as you mentioned. God-fearing leaders, or leaders that aren't God-fearing, they're too busy with the affairs of the world and establishing classes and ranks, establishing secret handshakes, secret societies, secret combinations so they can keep their power. Those with power who have been given it are afraid to lose it. But if you know that the source is from God and that he's the ultimate power, he's going to teach you. Everybody's going to have a piece of the pie and everyone's going to be happy with the pie they got.
Right.
Yes.
Good one. I've got a piece of paper in front of me that's the and I just want to share a couple paragraphs or a few sentences. It's actually from Rob Smith. I don't know if anybody knows Rob Smith, but he wrote about a prophecy about things that are going to happen, an invasion of the United States, but other things are going to happen first. But anyway, this is the last thing. The things upon us and shortly to come are far beyond the capacity of most to faithfully endure. Do not take lightly the things that are being revealed. The time is far spent to develop greater trust in God, to exercise full obedience to him, and to value what he has and will send you. And then a footnote. When I wrote this blog post some time ago, I did not publish it. I wrote at this point, for my part, I pray the famine comes first. Famine provides much greater opportunity for repentance than disease and violence. Though in our degraded society, violence will certainly accompany a famine. It seems that my prayer will be granted. So anyway, just a few thoughts that we need to be close to the Lord and listen and prepare ourselves. There are some things coming that, and I think Mauricio says that Zion won't be established until things are destroyed first.
And, it's hopeful. It's so hopeful. Thank you. It really is hopeful that you. I think we really have to understand that it's a logic in all of this. You know, that we if we want to give the people a chance, and God loves us. He loves. He wants the best of us, and to make the best of it. But it's people really don't want to change. That's for me also like bitter. Thing I'm realizing now, but we can change, and we can have mighty change. We can have
being reborn
really a big change, I think. And it's so interesting here also the free and being a free people. Then still you want good leaders, and still you don't want a theocracy, probably, but you want believers who are democratically chosen to lead you. But first you have to realize that we know nothing of God, and we're learning now to be free. Because when are you free? We can never be free without Jesus as our advocate. And to learn also, that's what I'm also learning again and again, that you needed this person in the flesh that you cannot only explain. And that's why he pops up all over the world as the doorway to follow, because we all also have our languages and intellect and speed of how we learn things. So, wow, what a hopeful Russell. Thank you.
You know, I love there. When it says being a free people, that's only half of it, because we're supposedly free in America with our liberties, and yet you have to wear a face mask and you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't do that. But freedom, yeah. So when I think of the changes that I mentioned before that have come about because of COVID, when you think of World War II, there were more patents taken out during and after World War II than any other time, because that chaos brought about a change in people's thought processes. They had to live life differently because life was different after that. And it allowed their minds to expand, be open to streams of intelligence that come down from the Lord. You know, there is no new ideas. Everything is there in that field of consciousness that you just have to tap into that truth to receive that understanding. And so when people are put in different circumstances, their brain then is wired for survival and will trigger new thoughts and new inventions come about. So like I said, with COVID, people being forced to work at home, corporations that never would have allowed people to work from home found ways and streamlined the way the world now does business. So when we think of being pushed to the brink, getting out of our comfort zones, tapping into what the Lord is asking us to do as a free people, and thinking bigger than we are, setting outrageous goals for ourselves that we can attain with the Lord's help, and pushing things while we still do have a semblance of freedom to understand the Lord's ways and how we can be a gift in his hands.
Definitely.
Thank
I think
you.
It's 11, almost 11:30, guys.
Yep. I thought no new verse anymore.
Yes.
And then
I didn't get a chance to read.
Oh.
Sorry.
Maybe
he can read the last one again.
So did we read verse 6?
Yeah, we read verse 6.
Yeah.
You're in charge, girl.
Yeah, I thought.
I'm just messing with you. I'm just messing with you. I was saying that. We can close it out.
Okay. We can close it up. Maybe you can close it up. But maybe
okay, let's go ahead and do a prayer, and then I'll stop the recording.
Oh, you want to include the prayer?
Okay. You're right. Let me stop the recording.